Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Barry Shoup, the former executive director of the National Institute of Communicable Diseases. Prof, good afternoon to you. Thank you for being with us again.
Good afternoon, Simon. Thank you for having me.
So, Prof, yesterday we were having a really interesting discussion about the vaccines that are proving to be really good news stories at the moment. You wanted to continue chatting about Pfizer and I think Moderna in particular this afternoon.
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of media hype, a lot of excitement, a lot of expectations, a lot of public interest in the basically what happened is these are interim analyses of the two trials of these two vaccines, two messenger RNA vaccines, the Moderna and the Pfizer. And I just wanted to give a bit of perspective. First of all, it is really excellent news. It's good news. It's very encouraging news for a number of reasons. First of all, we know when they were planning the vaccines, when they were devising the trials and said, they were looking at saying like 50 to 60% efficacy. And they would have been happy with that. So when they got 90% and 94.5% for Moderna, this was actually well beyond well beyond their wildest dreams. So, that's number one. I think the important thing is that it just shows that it's a proof of concept finding. In other words, that the concept that coronavirus vaccines do work, that they can work, and that they can work very effectively. I think that's a very, very important major scientific stride forward. And I think other vaccines are going to follow soon. You know, they are busy at the moment. You see, they have to collect enough cases of people that get infected to compare those that got the placebo versus those that got the vaccine. And this is what's, I think, holding up a number of the other. But soon, I'm sure there will be the results of other trials being announced. In fact, the Russians announced their Sputnik V gave 92% efficacy, 92% protection. So I'm sure we're going to hear more news, good news, fairly soon as well. I think the other important thing is that it's actually concertinaed the time span. It's accelerated the time when these vaccines can really go into people. In fact, they're talking about getting what they call emergency use authorization. Now, the FDA in America, which is the licensing authority, will give emergency use authorization if there's sufficient motivation from an efficacy point of view, which there is now, and also a two-month safety record. And that's going to come at the end of this month, end of November. So they're actually hoping that the vaccine will start being administered, in fact, December. That's very important because it's going to give us a sort of a leg up to get experience and get knowledge of how the vaccine is behaving, both with efficacy and, of course, with safety as well. Now, there are some reservations. I mean, nothing comes completely 100% good news. There are some reservations. Firstly, this is a trial. Remember, it's a trial, and so it's a trial with selected volunteers, healthy volunteers between the ages of 18 and 65. There were a couple of older than 65 people in the Moderna trial, but probably not enough to really make a statistical evaluation. So it's in a select population. It is early days. We don't know what the durability of this protection is going to be. On the other hand, I mean, we see that it has worked, so it can be used like for outbreaks, like we're seeing now in the Eastern Cape, for example. Also, what we don't know is that it can protect against infection, but are these people infectious? And that's an important point in terms of getting herd immunity. Because if vaccine recipients are still infected with a virus and excreting the virus, that does lose a lot of its kind of efficacy. So we'll have to wait and see about that. And then, of course, there's also the big question. I don't think it's a major thing. I think I can reassure on that. But there's a question mark on the long-term safety. But I think that the evaluation has been so intense and thorough up to now, I don't think there's too much of a concern about long-term safety, but there is still a bit of a question mark there.
So this is that issue comes up so often, Prof. I think the anti-vaxxers kind of put that in the back of your mind and hope that it's going to sort of metastasize into something more serious. So my question for you, in the history of vaccines, Prof., yeah. Has it happened that there has been massive vaccinations and unforeseen consequences of something rather awful happening?
I'm sorry you'd ask that. There are two examples. Yeah,
the one example
is a well-known one. You may remember 1976. There was the big swine flu scare in America.
Yes.
And at the time, the president was a guy called Gerald Ford. And he ordered mass immunization against that flu, which never materialized. But there was an increased incident from the vaccine recipients of a disease called Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is a rather unfortunate complication. People get paralyzed. They usually recover, but for a period of time, they are paralyzed. That's the one. The other incident was the rotavirus, the one where they give for children with gastroenteritis. In America also, they licensed the vaccine, the initial rotavirus vaccine. It's called RotaShield. And then millions of infants got it, and there was an increased incidence of what we call intussusception. I won't go into the details, but what it's intestinal obstruction, which they tied to the vaccine. So the vaccine was actually removed. So this is why they do what you call phase four, which is a post-marketing surveillance to look for these things. But I really think it's very, very unlikely to happen with the coronavirus. But there's obviously a small chance.
So hopefully we've learned from our mistakes, you're saying. Hopefully.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, indeed.
Very, very interesting. Prof, we're going to leave it there this afternoon. Thank you so much. And yeah, look forward to chatting to you tomorrow.
Great. Thanks a lot.